Have you had a chance to call the vice chair's office?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So let me hand the gavel over to the vice chair after we establish a quorum, and then we'll be able to present the bill and get out of here. So please call the roll.
Allen?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Hancock? Hertzberg?
Here.
Liu?
We have a quorum, and we will now begin.
Thanks for helping me on that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Did you get it?
I'll tell you. Okay. I need a little help.
Okay, I gotta get it. Type in an email address.
Mr. Chair, Senator, would you like to present?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair.
SB 450.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So, as we've discussed quite a bit in this committee, California's unacceptably low rate of voter participation is simply undeniable. It's well documented. We saw historically low voter turnout in 2014, when only 25% of registered voters cast a ballot in June, and only 42% participated in November of that year. And LA County, of course, had the lowest turnout in the state. Fewer than 17% of their voters cast a ballot in the June election, and 31% in November. And then in the 2015 county elections in LA, I think it was down at 9% voter turnout.
8.6, I think.
8.6, okay. So while voter turnout was poor across the entire country in 2014, California ranked an inexcusable 43rd in turnout amongst the states. So it's not an anomaly, it's a trend. While turnout routinely spikes for presidential general elections, voter participation has been steadily declining for decades. And it really ultimately merits a thorough investigation and look at our model of voting. And you know, from our perspective, after a lot of research and a lot of time, our current model of voluntary voting by mail and limiting voters to one polling location on a single day within a single set of hours is simply failing us, given all of the complexities of modern life. And we believe very strongly that we must implement a new voting model, or we will continue to suffer the steady decline that is ultimately impacting the vitality, the vibrancy, in fact, even possibly the legitimacy of our democratic system. So SB 450, which is the Voters' Choice Act, is modeled on the very successful way that Colorado conducts its elections, wherein every voter automatically receives a vote by mail ballot, who may then return that ballot by mail or in person at numerous drop boxes and also at innovative vote centers that are open for about 10 days before Election Day. Colorado was third among all the states in voter turnout for 2014. The system also resulted in a significant reduction in costs of administering elections in Colorado. And it's our firm belief, the evidence shows this, that participating counties in California will realize ongoing savings as well as capital outlay savings as they prepare to replace outdated voting equipment. And they also reduce dramatically the high costs associated with provisional ballots and training at neighborhood polling locations all over the county. As we all know, there's always an enormous scramble to try to get volunteers to man or woman those polling locations on Election Day, staff those locations. Since vote-by-mail ballots already comprise over 60% of the ballots statewide in California, this change will not be as dramatic as it may initially seem. In lieu of traditional neighborhood polling places, vote centers will be placed in convenient locations all over town and open several days prior to each election. Furthermore, voters can use any vote center or drop box in their home county. They're not limited to using the one closest to their residence. And in Colorado soon, they'll be able to vote anywhere in the state. And we hope that eventually we'll get to that place, too. If someone's on a long business trip to San Francisco or Los Angeles, they'll be able to vote there. And that's obviously not the scope of the bill, but that's where we hope to move. At the vote centers, voters can register to vote, cast a vote, get a new ballot if they lost or damaged their ballot. They had arrived by mail. They're also equipped with accessible voting machines for disabled voters and electronic poll books that interact with the official voter database. And ultimately, there is a paper trail associated with all those votes cast. So even though we're taking advantage of electronics and all the latest developments in tech, every single vote that's cast on those voting machines at the polling locations, at the vote centers, will have a printout that a voter can review themselves, and then that is what is counted. So we'll have a strict paper trail for elections integrity purposes. SB 450 will permit the system in California on a county-by-county opt-in basis, permissive basis, beginning in 2018. So 14 counties will be permitted to opt in for 2018. Calaveras, Inyo, Madera, Napa, Nevada, Orange, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, San Mateo, Santa Clara, Shasta, Sierra, Sutter, and Tuolumne. Any county then may opt in starting in 2020. Now, due to infrastructure limitations, the bill also provides a separate option for Los Angeles County, whereby they will have to provide a greater number of vote centers, but not be required to initially send a vote-by-mail ballot to every voter. We've been in intense discussions with the folks from LA County. They are expected to opt in 2020 if the bill is successfully signed into law. And then, as required for full implementation, by 2024, they would then be sending every voter a vote-by-mail ballot. Now, the beauty of this system is that it increases rather than decreases choice and voting opportunities for every individual voter. Limiting our voters to a single location on a single day simply makes no sense given the complexities of modern life. For the first time, California voters will be able to choose when, where, and how they want to vote under a system that provides maximum convenience and accessibility under local implementation plans that they will help to develop. Here's a few specific highlights. Once voters receive their ballots, they can mail them back, or they can drop them off at a voter drop box, or go into the vote center and drop off their ballot there. Voters can vote in person at least 10 days before Election Day, which includes 2 weekends. Voters can use any vote center in the county, as I said, many of which will be in convenient locations for them, like near their workplace, their school, place of worship, shopping centers, etc., city halls. If voters drop their ballot outside their county, it will be then forwarded to the correct county. It's an additional convenience. Every vote center will provide translated materials and assistance in the languages protected by the Federal Voting Rights Act. Every vote center will have accessible voting machines that permit disabled voters to cast their votes privately and independently, which I know is a great concern of the vice chair. Voters will also be able to request accessible vote-by-mail ballots, which will permit visually impaired voters to vote privately and independently at home. Every vote center will provide same-day voter registration, as the law already provides, which allows eligible citizens to register to vote or update their registration until the close of the polls on Election Day. That's just incorporating the law that was passed a couple of years ago. Lastly, the public will have an unprecedented voice in how these elections are run, including formal consultation on the location of vote centers and ballot drop boxes. The language of 450 was painstakingly developed with the input of the Secretary of State, county elections officials, numerous advocates representing all facets of California's very diverse electorate, folks from the disability community, folks from the language minority community, folks from both sides of the aisle. It was a painstaking process. We took several trips. I personally went to Colorado several times to listen to stakeholders there. Our staff went as well. Republican staff went too. It was a fascinating process. And the bill is supported by numerous good government and other organizations, and it is my firm belief that SB 450 offers the best opportunity to significantly increase voter participation while also saving participating counties money over our current broken system that is simply failing us and not leading to the type of representation and engagement and vibrancy that I think we would all hope from a modern democracy such as ours. And with that, I respectfully ask for your aye vote, and I'd like to turn to my joint author, Senator Hertzberg.
Thank you, Senator, sir. I'm sorry that we ran out of time, but no, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Allen, and thanks for you and your staff's extraordinary work on this. You know, this has been an issue. I had another bill which rolled into your bill way back in the beginning to try to really deal with this in a comprehensive way. You know, in democracy, people have freedom. Freedom means freedom not to vote. Making the choice, this is not Australia where it's that you have to vote and you're forced, but you have the freedom. But the question, I think, what's raised by this bill and what's raised, particularly in Southern California, more so than Northern California, I don't know what you guys drink in the water in Northern California, but whatever it is, it causes you to vote a lot more.
It's all the coal going through
Oakland. Something like that. I don't know what it is. But you vote a lot more, and the question is not really about choice. It's about convenience and really just the essence. I mean, all the specifics were set forth by Senator Allen, but the point is that, you know, we had a situation years ago when we changed the law from 30-day registration to 15. I tried to get it same day, but the then governor wouldn't do that. Because you find people who have changed their apartments and moved and didn't realize that the registration required 30 days. All of a sudden, people 3 weeks out are sending out mailers or advertising on TV, and they want to participate, and they're barred because they moved, right? Or we saw stuff where in California, the voting machines had similar problems to what we saw in Florida, so we passed in 2000 or 2002, I can't remember, a bond issue to try to move away from the CHAD process. And there's been a real steady march. And I think this measure really represents a giant leap forward, so to speak, for the community in terms of dealing with voting. I think at some level it has to do with the issue of politics and the complexity of the issues. But all we can do at this stage is to make it as easy as possible, as convenient as possible, rather than if you've got one day for a certain number of hours, you got a sick kid, your car's broke, you got to go to work, you're working late, you got to rush home. The opportunities that this give to take down every wall possible, to think through every kind of inconvenience that folks otherwise face and give them every opportunity to participate is the right thing to do. All I got to say is, you know, the Civil Rights Act was introduced 42 times in the United States Congress. Voting Rights Act, similar kinds of terms. These are gigantically important rights that we celebrate in terms of, and then when it comes to the mechanics of actually making sure that happens for folks, you know, it's somewhat challenging. And so I just want to give accolades to Senator Allen and to you guys, the staff at the Secretary of State's office. This is a gigantic step in the right direction. I ask for your support of this measure.
Thank you. We also have our dear friend from Secretary of State's office here to testify.
James Schwab, on behalf of Secretary of State Alex Padilla, the Secretary is pleased to sponsor SB 450. I'll be brief. This bill represents about 2.5 years of discussion, research, and negotiation between the Secretary of State, the authors, county election officials, and civil rights groups. It was about early 2014 when this committee had an informational hearing where you heard from a member of the President's Commission on Election Administration, as well as the chief election officer from the state of Colorado. And at that time, the President's Commission talked about what they had found after having meetings across the U.S. on the best practices for modernization. And that was early voting, that was vote centers, that was same-day registration. And the state of Colorado election official talked about a bill they had just passed and how they're looking forward to implementing it. And since that time, in early 2014, Colorado has implemented their law with the reforms that are in SB 450. They are now third in the nation in terms of turnout. Their provisional ballot use has gone down to virtually zero. And at the same time, California was 43rd in turnout, as the author noted, as well as one of the highest states with provisional ballot use. And so SB 450 brings together the best practices that we've heard from national organizations, from local organizations, and we hope to bring it to more counties in California. And I also mentioned, too, that in between 2014 and today, San Mateo was authorized to do a pilot project very much similar to what's in SB 450. And they found out what Colorado found out, and that was you'd have increased participation and cost efficiencies. And those cost efficiencies could be redirected towards voter education and outreach. And so I think SB 450 is the best practices for increasing and facilitating voter participation and modernizing our elections here in California. Thank you.
Are there other witnesses in support?
Good afternoon, Dorothy Johnson Holzen with the California State Association of Counties. Pleased to support. Thank you.
Chair members, Julian DeVoris on behalf of the urban counties of California, also here representing the rural counties of California, in strong support. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, Trudy Schaefer representing the League of Women Voters of California. And I just must add that the very extensive, very thorough process by the authors and the Secretary of State's office to get public input into what needed to be in this bill is what brought us along, and we're very happy to announce our support now.
Nicholas Heidorn with Common Cause and Strong Support. If you look at opinion polling, accessibility continues to be one of the top reasons why people don't vote. We think this is the future of California elections, and we're in strong support.
Hi, good afternoon. Jennifer Fearing on behalf of the California Association of Nonprofits and our 10,000-member Strong Policy Alliance in strong support.
Silvio Ferrari on behalf of the California election officials. Thank you for the great work on this and strong support.
Ed Behrens on behalf of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors in support.
Matt Robinson on behalf of the California Transit Association in strong support. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chair and members, Erin Niemela representing NextGen Climate Action, also in support.
Other witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Having seen none, senators, this may be our last elections committee, so I'd like to give you that opportunity to speak. Senator Hancock?
On whatever you want for as long as you want.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I was actually just going to commend the authors and the Secretary of State and move the bill. I did want to pick up on one thing, though, that Senator Allen said, which is that at some point there should be a thorough study of voting and why people vote and why they don't vote. Our voter turnout is shockingly low as a country. And I would note that the more money we spend on election campaigns, the lower voter turnout gets. There has been polling done that indicates that people think it's a rigged process, and therefore they would rather not participate than be manipulated. As you know, in this committee for many years, I have favored California moving towards some kind of public financing so that people will know that their elected representatives are accountable only to them. And I just think as we make it easier to vote, and I totally agree that the complexities of modern life, jobs, families, make it very difficult to vote in a prescribed period of time. But as we make it easier to vote, we need to look at some of the deeper reasons why people may be losing faith in the system and therefore opting out.
Mr. Chairman, can I respond to further? I'm sorry.
Through the chair. Through the chair. You may respond through the chair.
The chair. Thank you kindly, sir. The only thing I would say, Senator Hancock, the thought that I had in my experience in all of this is that I would just add one finer, if I could, friendly amendment to your observation about money. It's not how much it's spent, it's how it's spent. If you have really good ground operations and coffees and deep roots in the community versus send television ads and insurance company brochures, you know, often those expenses are the mailers and the television. But if you spend the same amount of money on hand-painted signs and neighbor-to-neighbor letters and all of that neighborhood stuff, you get a really good turnout and you get a real good relationship with the community. So I'd only add that, that it's not just money, it's how the money's spent. Because I've been objecting to how the money's spent.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yes, Madam Senator.
Just a thought.
I agree that some of it is how the money's spent. And certainly the more sophisticated and manipulative tactics are part, I think, of what turned people off, including some of the stuff we saw in recent elections where you didn't even know if the mailer from a candidate was actually from the candidate or from the opposition, right? And I think maybe we need some rules to clarify that. But the truth is that in a state as big as California, or even a Senate district, which is close to 1 million people, you can't do all hand-painted signs and walking. And so there has to be communication, which is why I think an adequately funded but more minimal public financing base would allow more people to participate. And the first question to a candidate should not be how much money can you raise or have you raised. And we should not have a lot of very good people opting out of running because they don't want to spend all their time on the telephone raising money. So anyway, just food for thought for the future. Having said that, good bill. I support
you moved
it. I moved it.
Senator Liu, I see your mic's off. Would you like to say something?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Thank you. Would you like to? Well, I have just a couple quick questions on this. So we've seen several bills earlier this year and I think past years where we have, in fact, I think, Senator Hertzberg, I think that you just carried one a couple weeks ago allowing, I think, five counties to go to vote by mail. Is that so? In a timeline, why are we rushing with this one moving ahead without seeing how those counties perform with those new? I mean, it seems that these are kind of competing bills. So how does that work?
First of all, this bill already restricts initial participation to 14 counties for the 2018 election, and then we can make necessary adjustments in 2019 for full implementation in 2020. So that if there are challenges, we can make sure to address them. I mean, as was mentioned, San Mateo has a pilot of sorts. We passed last year our measure to allow for the increase in vote centers. So there's a landing strip here that allows for study and modification. And we did that very purposefully, largely to address, I think, the core concerns behind your question.
As a follow-up, when you were going through and looking at this, did you look at any kind of cause effect on different counties in different performances? I know that on a board afternoon, I've gone back and looked at how some of my colleagues, how many votes they received in their district, and I contrasted it with how many votes I received in my district, and I was shocked to learn that some people were being elected with 20,000 votes while others was 200,000 votes, and yet they represented substantially the same sized districts. So did you take that into account, and how do you think that's going to be impactful?
Yes. So the numbers ultimately, the ratios that are established, so ballots are sent to registered voters, and the ratios that are set are for voters, right? So I think ultimately at the heart of the enormous disparities that you were noticing was that there are some districts with many, many more registered voters than others.
So you don't think there's any correlation of the lack of choice in some districts and why perhaps their voter turnout is so poor?
I think certainly some of the complications of poverty do negatively impact turnout in certain areas. I mean, people are, you know, really struggling to make ends meet, and if you're trying to figure out, you know, picking up the kids and dealing with a couple jobs, and it just makes it more challenging, more difficult to get to voting on an election day. I think that is a complicating factor. But I think that the size of the gaps that you see, some senators getting elected with 150,000, some getting elected with 20,000, has more to do with a whole other set of issues relating to the way we size our districts, which you know is an interesting issue that's been before the Supreme Court.
Well, I don't have any empirical knowledge, but from serving on the Senate floor sometimes, I believe that's a function of the lack of choice of candidates in those districts.
Well, what you will see is similarly low turnout amongst eligible voters in all of these different districts.
Right. Well, thank you for your presentation. We have a motion. The motion is... you'd like to close.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd love to close, and I just want to say that hope is on the way, at least in three small aspects, with regards to the concerns that were raised by Senator Hancock. We've got the Disclose Act that's now coming up before the Senate this, I think either tomorrow or next week, which would force those independent expenditures to list very clearly who their top donors are in very clear language on their mailers or on their TV ads. We've got the Citizens United measure that's likely to, it's going to be on the ballot, which will give people an opportunity around the state to weigh in on Citizens United and related jurisprudence and try to inject some more accountability and transparency into our system. And then also 1107, which is the which is the public financing opportunity. So with that, I just really appreciate everyone's work on this and ask for an aye vote.
Okay, so the motion is SB 450, assembly amendments to be concurred in on the floor. If you wouldn't mind taking a roll call vote.
Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Anderson?
Aye. No.
Anderson, no. Hancock?
Almost.
Hancock, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lou?
Aye.
Lou, aye.